What's the strangest thing you're afraid of?
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, where we dig into the crazy things you're afraid of. Everything from animal-people hybrids, you know, people who get surgeries to look like an animal, to giant statues.
If I ever saw one of those giant statues, I probably would poop my pants.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast from. What's the strangest thing you're afraid of?
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, where we dig into the crazy things you're afraid of. Everything from animal-people hybrids, you know, people who get surgeries to look like an animal, to giant statues.
If I ever saw one of those giant statues, I probably would poop my pants.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast from.
Let's head out to the guest line right now and welcome in one of my favorites, former NFL MVP, and that, of course, is Joe Theismann, kind enough to join us on CBS Sports Radio. Joe, appreciate the time. How you been?
Always my pleasure, Zach. Great catching up with you.
So what was your reaction when you saw the news that Ron Rivera was going back to Carson Wentz and was benching Taylor Heinicke?
Wasn't really surprised. You know, Taylor, in the last couple of games, has made a couple of mistakes, and I think he was on thin ice as it was. The football team is a different football team when Carson really started the season. The running game is more solid. Brian Robinson's given a big shot in the arm. The defense has really found itself. The wide receiving core is as good a complement as you're going to find in the league. And I think, you know, for there's a couple reasons. First of all, you're paying a guy a lot of money, and you got to find out what you have to do in the future. What are you going to do in the future? I think Taylor did a terrific job keeping this team in a position to be able to have the opportunity to be able to get into the playoffs. And so, you know, I think Ron made the decision that he felt is best regarding what's going to be around the position.
I'm not a big believer in Carson Wentz, and I've been really critical of him, so let me just get that out of the way. But I look at these final two games. Cleveland is not a good team, and then who knows what the Cowboys have to play for next week. It's almost as if you say with Carson now, if it's not now, then it's probably never. But I kind of don't think this is going to be that much of a disaster these next 2 weeks.
I don't think so, and I don't think you can say never. Just look around the league, Zach. I mean, there's 90 quarterbacks on rosters. 15 give you a chance to play. I mean, you know, evidently he got run out of Indianapolis. What's their situation look like right now? I mean, you know, you look around the league and you say, you know, where do you find places for people who can play? I think it's important for Carson psychologically. I think it's important for the Commander fans and for the football team. He certainly has the ability to get it done. And now, you know, now the question is can you go out and deliver under duress? And the Browns, they've got two terrific running backs. Their defense is, I think, better than it was. You know, Deshaun's starting. The rust seems to be coming off a little bit. So this is a football team you can't look and say, oh, yeah, well, let's focus on the Cowboys. And by the way, the Cowboys, they catch an unbelievable break. Playing tonight, they get a mini break going into the last game of the season where they may be able to even rest more guys, and they'll be very fresh when the first round of the playoffs starts. So, you know, from a Commander standpoint, these are really the games you want to play in. Everything's on the line in this game.
I actually like this Commanders team when you look at the offense side of the ball. We know what they have on defense, but offensively, with Terry McLaurin, Jahan Dotson, you talked about Brian Robinson. I'm a fan of Antonio Gibson. Just the quarterback, once again, is that unknown. So, like, Joe, I'll just ask you, what do you expect out of Carson these next two games?
I expect him to get the ball out of his hands quickly. I expect the running game to support him. And he's just got to avoid the mistakes that Taylor was making. When you get down in a place to score, you can't fumble the football. You have to protect the ball. You know, he may throw an interception, maybe two. But it depends on where it happens and when it happens. That really depends on the future of quarterbacks. I mean, you look around the league, Derek Carr, holy mackerel, who knows where he's going or what he's doing. You know, Atlanta's made a change. Pittsburgh obviously went with the younger guy. You've got all kinds of things going on around the league at the quarterback position. I think Carson just needs to be able to go out and get back in some kind of a groove. And having a chance to play last week was important because the rust, you know, get to knock the rust off a little bit, even though it's 9 minutes and, you know, you didn't play a lot in critical situations. At least you got back on the field. You have a feel how your finger's going to feel. You have a feel how you feel, getting knocked around a little bit. And he'll be in a much better state mentally.
You know, yesterday when we got the news about Derek Carr, I started to think about teams that Derek Carr could be on next year. And the first team I thought of was the Commanders. Could you see that being an option next year?
It's hard to tell. I mean, a lot of it, like I say, we've got, you got these 2 weeks. I mean, do they want to go with another veteran guy, or do they want to bite the bullet, look at the draft, and say, okay, we're going to go find ourselves a young quarterback, you know, like a Kenny Pickett, you know, like a Ritter. We're going to go look for that young guy that we feel like we can start to build the football team through. There's been so many stopgaps in Washington. It's just find somebody to come in, you know, Fitz and, you know, different individuals to come in and sort of fill the role for a limited period of time. I think it's almost time that they have to make a decision on the direction they want to go in and say, okay, we're gonna find ourselves a guy. They got in Sam Howell last year. Don't know if he can be the guy. But, I Derek becomes interesting. There's a lot of guys out there, again, that you can recycle. But do you really want to do that?
What do you think Derek Carr could be in this league?
I felt like he was a pretty darn good quarterback. I don't know what happened. I mean, you got a new coordinator. You know, the fact that they got Devonta, everybody said, whoa, what a difference it's going to make. One receiver doesn't make a difference. It does if you lose them. I don't think it necessarily makes a difference if you get them. And I say that, you know, you look at Aaron Rodgers, how they've adjusted towards the end of the season. You know, a lot more guys have stepped up. Watson stepped up. I think it's trying to get used to the system that Josh McDaniel runs. It was an adjustment period. And then, you know, I mean, the Raiders shouldn't even be in a position where they are if it wasn't for that craziness against New England, which is the most bizarre play I've ever seen in my life, to be honest with you. All these years I've been watching football, 60-plus years, never seen anything like that. I think he can play. Guys have to get right mentally. You know, it's the toughest position to play in professional sports. You don't get time off. You're getting beat up mentally, physically. You're under scrutiny on a constant basis. You have to, you know, you really have to think your way through it. A lot of guys can throw the football, but you have to mentally get yourself tough. I've always said this time and time again, and I've asked different guys around the league, what do you think is the most important element that an individual possesses to play professional sports? And constantly they say mental toughness. And that describes the quarterback position. You know, I mean, so he got benched. Did he just leave the team?
That's the thing that no one knows. I'm going to assume that he left the team and the team was just okay with it because they're going to split with him anyway at the end of the year.
Well, you know, but you don't leave.
I agree.
You know, so you got benched, all right? So what are you going to do? Oh, I got benched, so I don't want to be here. Hey, you know, you signed a contract, didn't you? You have a contract for this year. I mean, that's my feeling. You have a contract for this year. Fulfill the obligations of the contract. You know, you go to the meetings. You sit there. Maybe you're not going to dress. So what? You know, you've been benched. Are you the reason why the team's losing? Yeah, probably a contributing factor, but not the whole reason. There's so many other factors why teams lose games. But when I saw that he wasn't going to be around for the next 2 weeks, I'm scratching my head going, why? Was he hurt? Was he physically unable to perform? What's the reason why he's not going to be able to be on that football team for the last 2 weeks of the season?
Yeah, I think it's clear, Joe, his feelings got hurt a little bit, and that's why he's no longer of the team.
Don't play quarterback in the National Football League if you worry about your feelings.
Two more before we let Joe Theismann run. Should Tua play again this season? Because now we're talking about multiple concussions. I know they said it's only two. It could have been three as well, if not more. Do you think Tua plays again this year?
I for the young man's sake, I hope not. If he's medically cleared and able to go, that's up to the doctors to decide. And certainly there'll be enough neurologists and different doctors that will look at him. When I was reported that he had another concussion, I started to worry about him going forward, because now it's not just one, or like I say, it may not even possibly two. could be more. And so if you start to become susceptible to that, I worry more about the young man than I do about the guy playing quarterback down in Miami.
Last thing that I'll ask you, Joe Theismann, Monday Night Football, Bills and Bengals. Who are you leaning towards on winning that game coming up on Monday?
The game's in Cincinnati. Buffalo's defense has been susceptible. Cincinnati seems very, very complete. I'm going with Buffalo. I think they have to contain, obviously, Josh Allen, the monster quarterbacker. But I'm going with Cincinnati.
And then one final thing. I lied to you. I had to ask you one more thing, and then we'll let Joe Theismann run. Yeah, that happens in our business. Talk show hosts say one last thing, and it's like nine more things. I promise this is the last one. The Patriots, when you look at what they're doing on the offensive side of the ball, I know that we all give Belichick the benefit of the doubt, but it hasn't worked. It makes zero sense, their approach with Matt Patricia as the offensive coordinator. Do you at all get what they did this year?
I know. You know, sharing anything, sharing the quarterback position, sharing coordinator positions. Thanks, guys. Sharing quarterback positions. Those are, you know, you need one voice, one play caller. Let's face it, New England wound up in the most unusual situation you could possibly be in. They'd ever, you know, I mean, they're almost a lock for the playoffs had it not been for that play with the Raiders. I mean, let's face it. I mean, that's just something like I've never seen. So, but it's football. It's crazy. But, you know, having dual coordinators, to me, I think there needs to be one person and then the others contributing.
Joe Theismann, we appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Great being with you. Happy New Year.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So my biggest fear is there's going to be snakes in the toilet.
We're all afraid of that one strange thing. I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new short 10-minute podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. We unpack where these fears come from.
A rat climbed into my toilet.
And learn how to manage them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.